This is our second to last week of the series, My Identity in Christ. So next week will be our last week in this series. Nothing? Okay. I thought there might be an awe or something, but all right. Now it sounds artificial, so. At the beginning of the series, we said that we would start by talking about our past. So we first started out looking at ourselves, knowing that we're in Christ, for all who have received Christ, to say, okay, let's look back. Let's look back at what was true about us before we were in Christ. And this included some good news, like saying that all people are made to reflect God's image, as well as bad news, to say that we were all under sin's power. So all that was talking about the past. The majority of our time, though, these Sunday mornings has been on our present. In other words, what believers can say currently about ourselves, those who follow Christ. So next week, as we end our series, we are going to be looking at our future, what will be true about us in Christ. And this morning is kind of a transition to that. What I mean by that is we're going to have four different present truths put up there, but we're also going to see how those things are true now, but yet they relate to things that are also going to be for the future in Christ. So because we have four items, we're just going to go ahead and dive right into it. We're going to start with, I am blessed. Are you blessed?
Yes.
Okay, well, now that was with good enthusiasm. Good job, because we are indeed. Go ahead and take a look at Ephesians chapter 1. This is in the ESV, starting with the very end of verse 4 into verse 6. It says, in love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. So just being God's sons and daughters through Jesus' death and resurrection is evidence that God gave or he poured out or he blessed us with his grace. You see up there, that it uses the expression at the very end of the verse, the beloved. Your Bible may say the beloved one. This is Paul referring to Jesus with a nickname, or you could even say it's a title. And he's getting that from, you may imagine, from the baptism, from Jesus' baptism, where God the Father proclaimed, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So, in Jesus Christ, we are blessed. A few verses prior to this, Paul describes God the Father, and he says it this way, he is the one who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So I want you to understand something of how we're using our time when we're saying, I am blessed. The Bible talks about blessing in this life and ways that God can bless us, even as Christians, in this life. But this is in addition to what we're talking about here, okay? We're talking about, if you want to refer to it this way, a bottom line blessing that we have in Christ. The scriptures would say that there are ways that we additionally get blessed, like, for example, obedience. You could figure that one out pretty easily. But those are conditional blessings. God essentially saying, if you do this, if you do such and such, then I will bless you. That's not what we're talking about right now. What we're saying right now are things that any Christian can say about him or herself, and anyone who has received Christ is able to say, I am blessed. True? Okay. Maybe the primary way that we would say that we're blessed is forgiveness. And so what Paul does is he quotes Psalm 32. He quotes Psalm 32 in Ephesians 4. The Apostle Paul says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. And yet another verse, a great verse in Ephesians chapter 1, it has so many great verses. Paul makes clear that we have forgiveness. Okay? We have forgiveness for the wrong things that we have thought, the wrong things that we have said, the wrong things that we have done, and it is through Christ's sacrifice. So, through faith in what he has done, we receive forgiveness. And as we receive forgiveness, we enter into a state, if I can call it that, we enter into a state of being blessed in Christ. So all of us, at some point or another, I hope it's not every day, but all of us at some point or another are going to have lousy weeks. We're all going to be in desperate situations. But even so, we should be ready to say, I am blessed because of being in Christ. We said this week is a transition into things that will also be true of believers in the future. And that is the case when we consider this idea of being blessed. So look at these different verses that regard our future, all about blessing from the book of Revelation. I'll just put them all up at once. Revelation 19:9, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That idea about everybody coming together when Christ comes back for that big celebration. Second one there from Revelation 26, blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. So this is when we get our new bodies and we inherit that life that never ends. And from the very last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, verse 14, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city being the new Jerusalem. So earlier in the book of Revelation, this idea of washing robes was mentioned. And it was the idea that as they did it by the blood of the Lamb, as they did it by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that they became clean in God's eyes. Something we've talked about earlier in our series. So right now, in the present, Christians can say, I am blessed, but there is more blessing coming in the future. Those who have received Christ can also say, I am victorious. Here's some key verses from the Apostle John. This is taken from his first epistle. Last chapter, chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. John says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory which has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So we are considered to be victorious because of our faith, specifically our faith that Jesus is God's Son. For those that were involved with Sports Camp VBS this summer, these verses may remind you of a certain song. If you look at them carefully, they may remind you of a song, which Andrew is going to play a little bit for us right now. If he's yeah! You're so cute. It's like you were looking up here to see if... it's like you were looking up here to see, are Linda and Rachel going to be up there doing the moves? And they were, in fact, as they were seated doing the moves. When I prepare sermons, I get to learn along with you. You know what I learned for the very first time? I should have known this beforehand, but in working with this passage, you know what I found out for the first time? That saying is overcomer, right? As a person, the New Testament word overcome is the noun form of the word victory, like in the original language. To overcome is the noun form of the word victor. So to say that we are overcomers is to say we're victors. We're those who have the victory. So victory is the root word for overcome. And I like how the God's Word translation, simple language translation, kind of makes that easy to see, because everyone who has been born from God, that same 1 John 5 passage, has won the victory over the world. By the way, Andrew, don't just, you know, drop that. If I'm starting to, you know, lag here, he's just going to hit the button, right, and play that song again, but gets everybody awake and going. We are victorious because of our faith. But we're also victorious. We're also victorious because of something that Jesus himself said before going to the cross. So we were looking at 1 John, but now we're going to go to John's gospel. Something that he said before going to the cross, this is from chapter 16 in John. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. That overcome, that's our victory verb again. Here's how the New Century Version puts it. In this world you will have trouble, but be brave. I have defeated the world. So we are victorious because the Lord Jesus was victorious. Or another way that you can put that is that we share in Jesus' victory. Amen? Okay. We share in Jesus' victory. I'm going to go ahead and show you one more verse that applies to the idea of being victorious now, but it does have a connection also to the future. So toward the end of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says the following, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, that's from verse 57. So we can say now, we can say today, even despite our circumstances, that God gives us the victory. But in context, if you look at the context of that chapter, and some of you know this already, he's actually talking about the future. So this is what it says a few verses earlier. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, talking about our bodies, and this mortal will have put on the immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So victorious now, victorious in the future, all due to what Christ has done. The two last truths that we're going to look at are going to be briefer. The truth statement of number three is looking more directly at the future, and it's this, I am safe. And you say, now wait a second, how's that talking about the future? So I think you're actually going to be surprised what this point is getting at, to say that I am safe. We're going to first go to something that Jesus refers to again toward the end of his life and ministry on earth in part of what's called the high priestly prayer in John 17. So this is just before going out to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus says in chapter 17, verse 12 in the NIV, "While I was with them," he's praying to the Father, "I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled." We can understand what Jesus is saying by "kept them safe" by what it says, and I see that you're looking at it, by what it says later in the verse. Okay, so there's a contrast there, that they were being contrasted to the one that was doomed to destruction. So a lot of Bibles, a lot of us know the expression, instead of what's said there, the one doomed to destruction, we would, you know, kind of know the more the traditional way, which is the son of perdition, referring to Judas. So Judas was doomed to destruction, and I think that's talking about eternal destruction. Or as the International Children's Bible puts it, I found this fascinating that a children's Bible put it so plainly. The International Children's Bible put it as the one who was going to hell. So way to go, International Children's Bible, for putting it so clearly. So Jesus is saying that in his name there is power, which I thought was great because the music team said that very thing this morning. They didn't know I was going to be saying this, but in his name that there is power. And by that power, he says of those that were his, that they were not eternally lost. They were kept safe from that. Or we could also say that they were protected from that. So now notice how the apostle is going to say something similar in his epistle in 1 John 5:18. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. This is also in the NIV. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. So what it says with a capital O there, the one who was born of God, that's a reference to Jesus being born according to God's timetable, something that we're remembering at this very time of year. Jesus keeps those who are spiritually reborn. He keeps them safe. And so I think this is also referring to eternal protection. That's how Satan can't harm believers. Because a lot of us would say, Satan's attacking me big time. And he is. But this particular verse is talking about safety eternally, that he can't harm us in that way. The Apostle Paul actually says something similar about himself. This is toward the end of his life. 2 Timothy was one of the very last things that we know that he wrote. So in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says in verse 18, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom, the English Standard Version. So anyone who has received Christ in this way can say, I am safe. We'll put that up there just to emphasize that again. And that means that the Lord will guard you, he will guard me, he will protect, he will keep us safe so that we make it safely into God's presence. And that is something that sometimes people worry about, especially toward the end if they doubt things. Our final statement of our four this morning is more directly connected to the future also, and it's to say this, I am sealed. Now this is being talked about like the idea of an official document from somebody who's important. So you imagine that they had them rolled up in those days and it was a scroll. So a document that was important and that was from someone important would then have a seal on that. In the first chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul says this, verse 22, how God has also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. There are a couple Bibles that will use the phrase as a down payment instead. So the idea is that this down payment acts as a guarantee of something that he is going to do, something that is going to happen in the future. Till that time, we have an official stamp, an official seal on us. There's a similar idea in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Paul says, having also believed, you were sealed in him, meaning in Jesus, with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance. So by being in Christ, we have a spiritual seal on us, and this is part of what's coming in the future, and here it's described as inheritance. This idea of inheritance, of being heirs, is something we're going to look into more next week. For now, we're just going to notice that this last clue was given in this verse. And then a couple chapters later in chapter 4, where Paul says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed. And then he says, for the day of redemption. So now, in previous weeks, we have talked about how as Christians, we are purchased. So what is the future day of redemption? Like I said, that's for next week. I'm not going to tell you now. I hope you'll be able to be here. We are going to finish up our series next week by looking at the future with the series that's been entitled My Identity in Christ. Things that the believer can say now are these three things. The believer can say now, I am blessed. I am victorious. I am safe. I am sealed. So we all struggle. We all get down. We all get discouraged. When the enemy comes in like a flood against you, just remember that it's going to be for a time, and God does allow that in life, and sometimes it's hard to understand. Why is Satan allowed to do so many evil things in this world? Sometimes he wants to show a great power so that he can show that his is an even greater power. Amen? Okay, this is where Jesus describes himself in the Gospels. Satan is a strong man, but it's the stronger man that binds him, and that's our Lord Jesus. So let these truths be an encouragement to you, because we're all going to go through these things, and yet we can still say that these are true about us. I just have one request for this week based in these four statements. I'd like you to be willing to pray for a believer that you know that's going through hard times, that is really struggling, and to pray these things for them, to pray that they'll be able to see that these are truths for them. Maybe you're going to be the one to share these truths with them. But even if you don't tell them, to be willing to pray in the next week for somebody or somebodies that the Lord puts on your heart that you know that they would say they're a Christian, and yet they're really struggling and maybe really feeling as if there is attack on them. You could pray each one for a day. You can pray them all in the same day, however the Lord leads you. If you happen to be in some rare situation where you don't know somebody who is going through discouragement and having a hard time, where they don't need these prayed, then you can pray them for the persecuted church around the world, right? Okay? Hearing even what one of the elders, what Abe was sharing in our prayer time before Sunday school, talking about being aware of something for a believer that was an extremely hard time, and yet they were still able to praise God. So whether it's for specific believers around the world, whether it's just for those that you say, Lord, I know the people in your body are struggling, you can pray these for them. And as always, we also want to say that these are things that if you haven't received Christ yet, these are great things to be able to say. To be able to say that if I receive Christ, if I take in faith what he's done for me, if I line myself up with his plan for my life, if I'm willing to submit myself to that, to acknowledge that I've done all these things. Again, even as weeks in the past, you can say that you too are blessed, victorious, safe, and sealed. Let's pray. Well, Lord, I have to admit that since getting the Overcomer course ready a few days ago, that I still have it going through my head. And that's a good thing, Lord. It's good for us to have music that goes through our mind and that we can just hear over and over, because in a lot of ways it's simply repeating scriptural truths. And we do have the victory. We have victory, and we are blessed, and we are safe, and we are sealed. And I pray, Father God, that for those that are struggling, that they'll hold on to these things and in faith trust you, that even though the enemy will come against, especially your people, that at the same time the victory has been wrought, and we know the way that this ends. We know that for all those who receive Christ, they have an eternity to enjoy you, to enjoy your creation, all the great things that await us. But for now, Father, as we need encouragement, or if we know someone else who does, bring them to mind. Enable us to pray even these things over them this week, and maybe share it with them. And then for our brothers and sisters that are struggling around the world, Lord, evil is real. And so we can intercede for them and pray that they too would take hold of these truths, because we know that to lose this life is to not lose much, that you have so much greater waiting for us, even as the scripture talks about. Thank you, Father, for this encouragement from your word, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.